Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Amen and amen. Would you lift your hands? There we are. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the power that's available in Jesus. We thank you that in this night, Father, and in every night, that the kingdom of our God has no end. And Father, I pray in this night, Lord Jesus, Lord, that the unction and the power of God will rest again upon us. Father, thank you that we can know in this night that there's a name higher than any other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that it's not just a name, it is the person of Jesus Christ that we belong to. And Father, we lift up your name in this night. And Father, I pray, make Jesus, make him at the head, Lord, of everything as it is, Lord. I know it is, Father, but I pray again that the world will know that there's no hope without Jesus. There's no way without Jesus. That Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only life. Lord, Jesus is the only door to the Father. There is no other. Lord, in a world that is confused, there's one thing that is not confused, and that's the word of the Lord. And Father, I pray in this night, thank you that where the word of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty, and there's power. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people shout. Oh, come on. Come on, let's give him 10 seconds of praise again, won't you? Just 10 seconds, come on, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, come on, let's lift up his name. Come on, how will you clap hands if your freedom is on it? Come on, can we do that again? 10 seconds, come on, let's just break the shackles off. Let's just break off whatever the enemy is trying to do. But there's a power living inside of you that is stronger. There's a name written upon you that is more greater. There's a future ahead of you that is more powerful. It is the name of the only one, Jesus the Christ. Come on. Who do you believe? You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. But there's a spirit inside of you that is stronger than the spirit of this world. Come on. We are overcomers, aren't we? Come on, put those hands together. Let's put a bit of energy into this place. Come on, it might be late in the year, but we're not done yet. Come on, empower. Come on, put those hands together. Let's put some energy back. Come on, let's whip the devil a bit of our sound tonight. Come on, church, beautiful, beautiful. Clap those hands. Yeah, come on, lift the sound. The Bible says we praise God with a sound. Come on. We praise the Lord with the clapping of hands. Come on, clap those hands. We praise the Lord with a shout. Let's try again. We praise the Lord with a clapping of the hands. We praise the Lord with a drum. We praise the Lord on the keys. Come on. Come on. Come on, give me your best. Beautiful drum. We praise the Lord with the guitar. Come on. Now everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Worship God. playing on the keys. Yeah, beautiful. Oh, come on, give me a bit. Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, are you tired of worshiping the Lord? Everybody now. Come on, we are Africans. We know how to use sound.
Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Hey! Say, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.
I'm somewhere. I'm somewhere in the future.
And I look much better than I look right now. I'm somewhere in the future. And I look much better than I look right now. I'm somewhere in the future. And I look much better than I look right now. I'm somewhere in the future. And I look much better than I look. I'm somewhere in the future. And I look much better than I look. I'm somewhere in the future. I look much better than I look. I'm somewhere in the future. And I look much better than I look right. I'm somewhere in the future. And I look much better.
Oh, beautiful. Come on, let's just put the sound up. Come on, come on, let's enjoy the Lord. Yeah, beautiful.
Say
There's a sound tonight. There's a sound. take fear back. We've had enough of the fear. We're not afraid. Come on. Beautiful.
I can hear the rhythm of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I can hear the rhythm of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
I can hear
the rhythm of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
I can hear
the rhythm of the Lion of the Tribe. A baby in the manger anymore. He's not a broken man on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave. He's not staying forever. He's not a baby in the manger anymore. He's not a broken man on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave. He's not staying here forever. He's not a baby in the manger anymore. He's not a broken man on the cross. He didn't stay in the grave. He's not staying forever.
He's alive. 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 He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Oh, come on, he's alive, prophesy.
Come on, give me 6 seconds of praise.
Come on, there we are. Just lift those hands. Let's welcome Him. Father, we welcome You in this place. Thank You that the power of the Holy Spirit is stronger. Thank You that nothing can upset the plans of God. Thank You that You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Father, I pray in this night, Lord, we have not finished, Lord, with our praise unto Your name for Jesus' sake. Lord, in this night, we lift up the magical name of Jesus the Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the One that was and is to come, the soon coming King, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the One that rolled the stone away, the One that conquered death, the One that conquered fear, the One that said, I will come back for you soon and I'm preparing a way for you, the One that took our pain, our shame, that took the beating, that took the scorning, that took the punishment so that we don't need to have it, the One that has called me beloved, the One that calls me friend, the One that calls me a priest and a royal priesthood, a king unto my God. Lord, we lift up the name of the one and the only Jesus, our God, our Savior, our King, our ruler, the hope of the world, the light of the world. And Father, in this night, we pray that our hearts will go open for His word once again, that we may be transformed in this hour into the Son, as You have called us to be, images of those, images of Christ Jesus, our God. And Father, I pray that Your word will pierce our hearts, that Your Spirit will find us, Lord, and will move all of the debris, all of the dead things, all of the perceptions, all of the thoughts and the intentions of the hearts that war against our God. And Father, we want to be a holy people unto our God in this hour. We want to be a set apart people, a royal priesthood, living stones, that we can be usable in the hands of a living God. And this we pray in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ, the only one, the only God. There we are. Won't you just lift your hands everywhere where people are watching me from? Won't you just lift your hands for a moment, 10 seconds of the Lord. Let us recognize His presence. Let us recognize His power. Lord, we recognize You in this place once again. Thank You that we can worship You with ecstatic praise. Thank You that we don't need to be boxed in. Thank You that we don't need to be normal, Lord. Thank You that we can worship You in this hour and we can lift up Your name. Jesus, our God, we love You, Lord. We recognize Your presence. We pray in this night, touch us, Lord. Transform us, renew us, shape us, mold us once again. In Jesus' name, I want you now to put up both hands to the Lord. As high as you can, everybody watching me online, do the same. There we are watching me from, put up your hands in the air. Pray this prayer, say, Heavenly Father, encounter me. Heavenly Father, in this night, meet with me that I may change into the image of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. Why don't you give this worship team a God bless you as well. Just give them some honor where honor is due. Romans chapter 12. Amen. Come on. Oh, can we give 10 seconds of praise to the King? Come on. Can we say, wow, King Jesus? Can we say, wow, King Jesus, that Jesus is still the healer? Jesus is still the redeemer? Jesus is still the savior of the world? Come on. We have not lost our faithfulness. We have not lost our faith in Him. Amen. Come on. Bump someone next to you. Say, He's alive. Oh, no, say that now with faith. He's alive. Yes, He is. Amen. He is alive. The King is alive. He's well. He's good. He's faithful. He's just. He's merciful. His compassion never ends. I feel like we can give Him 10 seconds of praise again. Come on, in power. Taste. Oh, we worship you. Put your one hand on your heart tonight. Say, heart, listen to the word. Receive the word. Heart, change tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You're welcome to be seated. I want to speak to you tonight about the Holy Spirit, and you know what I like about talking on Him is that, you know, He always shows up before we need to talk about Him. Amen. And I want to just read one scripture, really, because, you know, what I want to share with you tonight, it's in me. It's much more in me than what I want to preach it tonight. Is that fine? You know, and I just want to read a scripture for you, and then I want to give you some thoughts, and then we're going to lay hands, and I'm going to trust God that the Spirit of Jesus Christ will touch you, that He will fill you, that He will shape you, that He will mold you, that He will break all things off you that need to be broken off tonight. Amen. So in John chapter number 20, verse number 21, I just want to read one scripture really. And I want you to understand first and foremost, when we speak about the Holy Spirit, we're not speaking about it. We're not speaking about the dove. We're not speaking about the oil. We're not speaking about the dew. Those are mere representations or symbols of the Holy Spirit. But when we speak about the Holy Spirit, we speak about the person, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. God the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to, in John chapter number 20, verse number 21, just want to read the scripture for you. It reads as follows. Jesus repeated His greeting, "Peace to you." And He told them, "Just as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you." Then taking a deep breath, He blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost. I send you to preach forgiveness of sin and proclaim the people's sins will be for, I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins and people's sins will be forgiven. And if you proclaim, if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of sins, they will remain guilty." I want you to know this night as we kick off and we speak about the Holy Spirit, that in this age, in this time that we are in right now, the biggest fight that we will have on our hands is as a churches around the globe to stay connected to what is ours. You have to understand that you have an enemy against your soul. You have an arch enemy that's against you. He doesn't like you. He's not for you. And there's one thing that He wants more than anything in this hour is, and that is your worship. And the reason why the enemy wants your worship is because what you worship, you become. Are you there? Let me say rather this, what you behold, you become. Whatever you imitate on is what you'll eventually will produce in your life. So whatever you worship, you become. Are you there? Come on, say amen with me. That is why when God led His people out of the wilderness or out of Egypt, God wanted to get Egypt out of them. Are you there? Because when God removes His people out of Egypt, He wants to get Egypt out of them. Otherwise, what is inside of them, they will produce by their hands. Now, this was the problem of the Israelites, because even though God removed them out of Egypt, Egypt was still inside of them. And even though God gave them the gold and silver and all the finances that they could ever muster, their hearts were away from the Lord. And eventually their hands produced where their hearts were at. I want you to understand, your hands will always follow your heart. Are you there? And that's why when Jesus came to the earth, Jesus never came to preach about salvation. Jesus came to preach about the kingdom. Can I have an amen on that? Because He doesn't want believers. He wants disciples. It's getting quiet. He doesn't want believers. He wants disciples. He didn't come to set up a religion. He came to set up a kingdom. And on His shoulders will rest a government. And that government will have no end. You and I are called the church, the ecclesia. The word ecclesia, ek means out. The word kaleo means called. When you put these two words together, ecclesia, the church, it means the governing body that is placed upon the earth to form or to rule or to demonstrate the kingdom of God. In other words, we are not here just to play church. We are here to let the kingdom come. Oh, come on, no. So as we, like we sang to this just now, and we become ecstatic, you know, I want you to understand that heaven is going to be excessively a loud place. It's not a quiet place. There's no boards up that says it's going to be quiet. Heaven is going to be loud because God would want to be worshipped. That's the only reason why we are here, by the way, is we are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what we are living through right now is Satan's best attempt to steal worship. Because if he can make your future unknown to you, he will try to grab onto the grass arms, I want to say, almost of the day. In other words, when the future becomes uncertain, you try to control what is now. Oh, come on, are you there? But may I be as confident as to say to you tonight that the future is in God. Even more importantly, the future is inside of you. So Jesus never came to preach salvation. He came to preach the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. The byproduct of the kingdom is salvation. So whenever the kingdom comes, salvation comes. Come on, what is the word salvation? The word salvation is a threefold process. It is the word justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification means I have been justified in Christ in the past tense. Sanctification means right now I'm changing and I'm becoming like Jesus. In the future when I lay down this tent, I'm going to be glorified in the Lord. So salvation is a threefold process. All of it is done by God. Some of it is done by man. All of it is done through the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you there? You cannot get yourself holy even if you try. You cannot get yourself pure even if you try. The power of sin is in the law. The power of freedom is in grace. Oh, are you there? So let me say it like this. It is a kingdom that we belong to. The kingdom is within me. The kingdom is upon me. The kingdom is what I belong to. Let me say it like this. You might be, you have to see it like this. Are you 9 to 5 employed or are you 9 to 5 deployed? Can I say that again? Are you 9 to 5 employed or are you 9 to 5 deployed? In other words, wherever you are, that's where the kingdom must be. So we are not employed by God. We are not members of a club. We are citizens of a kingdom. Oh, can I have an amen to that? That's too good for that beautiful golf clap. Thank you very much. Any else? No, we are deployed by God. We are not employed. We are not members. What is a member? Oh, come on, guys. Don't look so serious. What is a member? A member is somebody that has a card. I can say I'm a member of Virgin Active, but if I don't look like a member, then I'm not a member. There are many people that have Virgin Active cards that say that they are a member of Virgin Active, but Virgin Active has never seen them. They saw them in January and never again. Come on, and do I have some witnesses? You know what I'm talking about. God is not in the business of wanting members. He's in the business of making citizens. The problem is, we have a full-time God with half-time Christians. Do you know that it's true what I say? We cannot let the kingdom of God be a half-time thing we do. And the biggest fight that we have on our hands right now is this thing called COVID, or this virus that's on the planet, has got one design and one design only, and that is to disconnect you from that connects you. Because if you remove the holiness of church out of the environment, you'll have a society that will fall into decay. What are we seeing around the world? We are seeing lawlessness abounding. Why is lawlessness abounding? Because they try to muzzle the church. But I want to be as bold as to say this, that the gates of hell cannot ever conquer the power of the church. I hope there's somebody that agrees with me. Otherwise, What in the heavens are we doing here the 21st of November, worshiping Him like crazy, if we are not convinced that He is the only way, He's the only life, He's the only answer, He's the only truth, and there is no other? Listen, the church is not a hospital, it is an army. We are a force. We are called by a lion. He's a lamb, but He's a lion. Come on. That's what makes you dangerous. You can be like a lion and like a lamb. There's times that you are careful and there's times that you roar. You roar against sickness. You roar against poverty. You roar against lawlessness. You roar against injustice. You are peaceful at other stages. In Durban, I was on Friday night. We had hundreds of people there. I said to them, it's only crazy people that come out on a Friday night looking for God. I can tell you this, South Africa are not in a desperate state if we, the church, rise up in this hour. But if the church does not rise up in this hour, then listen, we cannot be afraid for what the world is afraid of. Otherwise, why will they look to us as the answer? Come on, do I have a witness here? I have an answer to sickness. His name is Jesus. I have an answer to poverty. His name is Jesus. I have an answer to demon possession. His name is Jesus. I have an answer to loneliness. His name is Jesus. I have an answer to depression. His name is Jesus. I have an answer to the dead. His name is Jesus. He's the soon coming King. And why, oh why, are there so many people in this hour falling away from Him? You cannot be tired. Listen, if you understand what's coming upon the world, now is not the time to be tired. Now is the time to refire. Come on. So a member checks in and a member checks out. Citizens don't check in and check out. The Bible says if you lay down your life, you cannot pick it up again. You pick up your own life again, then it's very simple. Then you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, I have a surname. My surname is Barrett. I cannot go over to the free house and knock on their door and say, I'm a free now. Just because I changed my mind doesn't mean I changed my nature. Satan tries to change your mind so that he can change your nature. He tries to put lies into your head so that you become overcome in your mind, and then you start to act like not you. That's the best way I can say it. You start to act like a member when you are a citizen. Come on. Father, as we bless One Gospel tonight, in the name of Jesus. You know, we have such a high privilege in this church. Do you know how lucky you are? You know how many people we're reaching of the Gospel of Jesus Christ? I tell you, you don't know how privileged we are as we sit here. So we bless One Gospel tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm not a member, I'm a citizen. And the only thing that Satan can do in this hour is try to change my mind. That's the only thing he can do. How does Satan change your mind? He makes you tired. And what happens is out of weariness, you start to make the wrong choices. Am I talking to someone? But the Bible says, save me, the Bible says. I teach my toddler that. I said, hey, the Bible says, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. Please note, it's not just for people. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. I believe it's the hour of baptism. But he who does not believe will be condemned. I want you to understand that. People that don't believe go to hell. And these signs will follow those who believe. Please note, I don't follow signs. Signs follow me. However, if signs don't follow me, I follow signs until signs follow me. Let me say that again for our B class. I don't follow signs. Signs follow me. But if signs don't follow me, I follow signs until signs follow me. What does that mean? You walk with those that walk in signs, wonders, and miracles until you walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. Don't have a theology why you cannot. Are you there? Don't say you're too busy. Don't say I can't. Don't say the pastor can or the prophet or the apostle or the teacher or the evangelist or the dominie or whatever. No, you cast out devils. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. It's not you that do it. It's Christ that lives in you that do it. Jesus never said, go and heal. He just said, heal the sick. That means we are the agent. He's the power. He needs you. Oh, come on. And these signs will follow those those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak of new tongues. Hallelujah. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I want you to see here. In my name, they will cast out demons, dominion over the spiritual realm. They will speak of new tongues, dominion over the spiritual realm again. They will take up serpents, dominion over the natural realm. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, dominion over the biological realm. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, dominion over the natural realm. So when Jesus was walking on the water, was it Jesus walking on the water or the water responding to Jesus? Oh, come on. Say with me, I'm not a believer. I'm a citizen. Okay, you're going to swallow on that a bit. Jesus does not want committed Christians. He wants crucified ones. He doesn't need your commitment. He needs your cross. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He did not say, give up me your commitment. He said, take up your cross. Your cross will cost you. If it does not, then you're not a servant. No, yeah, come on. The cross will cost us something. It will cost us something. It will cost you comfort. It will sometimes cost you time. It will sometimes cost you money. It will always cost you something. Come on, are you there? So are we committed or are we crucified? Because one of the things I see in this hour a lot, I don't know if you've noticed, but have you noticed that everybody is getting sensitive? Hey? And everybody, we almost like need to tiptoe around people. Who of you know what I'm talking about? Waving your hand in the head like you just don't care. We need to like tiptoe. Because most of them net any men so offend the elevator. Question. How can you offend a dead person? They did. So now you say, hey, dead person, I don't like you. Dead person remains dead. Dead person says, nobody understands my pressure. Really? You're dead. One day I was complaining to God. I was saying to God, God, I have too much pressure. And I was moaning. I was complaining. True story. I remember I was like, Lord, this is pressure. It's too much. Can't take it anymore. That was my sentence. And he answered me. He said, I will take your privilege. I said, excuse me, Lord. What do you mean? He said, I'll take your privilege away. I said, Lord, No, that's not what I meant. I said, I need help. He said, no, you are moaning about your pressure. So now I'll take your privilege. And then he asked me the question, do you want me to take your privilege? Stay with me for a moment. And the Lord said to me, the reason why you have pressure is because you have privilege. The privilege you have is that you have a roof over your head. You have money in your bank. You have many people following you. You have a church and churches, you have influence in the nation, And what you're experiencing is pressure because of privilege. So I can take the pressure away, but then I'm going to remove your privilege. And then the Lord said this to me. He said, anything that is royal by nature has got pressure. You see, this is what we do as people. We moan about our pressure. Come on, am I talking to somebody? But okay, let's take your money away. Then we will see you moan. Because it is better to moan of a little bit of money than have nothing. Then you'll moan a lot. And you'll see what you... Because this is one thing I see of Christians. Can I just give you 5 seconds here? I sometimes see Christians now, especially in this hour, they moan about what other people will beg for. Come on, it's true. They complain. And do you know that that with Moses, that when Moses' brother and sister complained and they moaned, that God said to Moses, get out of my way, I want to kill them. God literally said that. And he actually said, listen, let's just take them out. Let me wipe everybody out. I'll start over with you. And Moses needed to tell God who God was. He said, Lord, you can't kill all the Israelites. You promised them freedom. So be patient. Are you guys there? Come on, don't go silent. So one of the things that we have to, you need to understand this. Offense can only creep in if there's distance from the source. If you and there can only be distance from the source if I have made purposeful decisions that I want to remove myself. Come on, are you there? Are you with me? So, God, save me the word disciple. A believer loves the Bible. A disciple loves the Lord. Let me say that again. A believer loves the Bible, and they'll bash people with the Bible. A disciple loves the Lord, and the Lord is the Bible. But who of you know that you can fall in love with the letter and forget the one that wrote it? Because it's not the letter that saves you, it's the spirit in the letter, with the letter that saves you. Come on, can I have somebody? Because I can beat people with this Bible, or I can let this Bible be filled with the Spirit of the Lord and then change people, but I need both. Because the last time I apply grace, I've forgotten the grace I need. Yeah, come on. Isn't that true? And I'm saying that with no bite in my hand. I believe that, as I say again, we are kingdom citizens. We are not members. And the church, you and I, we are here. Please listen to me. We are here as the changing agent. We are the salt. We are the light. Let me say it like this. If we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? If we're not going to stick it out, who's going to stick it out? If we're not going to rise up, who's going to rise up? If we're not going to worship, who's going to worship? If we're not going to praise, who's going to praise? If we don't show our children that we are stronger than our circumstances, then by default, we call them quitters too. Come on, people follow people that don't quit. Has the season been tough? Absolutely, but we serve a lion. Oh, come on, guys. You serve a lion. I want to say to you tonight, it's called the Great Commission and not the Great Suggestion. It's a commission, it's not a suggestion. Go into all the world. Not a suggestion, it's a commission. And I have found that the more we believe it's a commission, the more we'll do it. Come on, are you there? And the church, you and I tonight, and we'll lay hands tonight, the church, we are the moral authority. We are the restrainer. Without it, society will collapse in utter lawlessness, guys. Let me say it like this. You have to understand this. Say with me the word disciple. No, say with authority. Disciple. The disciples of Jesus Christ, they fought for fellowship. Let me say it again. They fought for fellowship. They were willing to give up their lives for fellowship. Because Jesus said to them, go wait in Jerusalem. All by themselves? No, together. Jesus said, two by two you go. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you bind in heaven is bound on earth. Two by two. He called them together. He called them into fellowship. And the disciples were convinced that fellowship was the only way to see the kingdom come. Come on, are you there? Are you with me? I want you to understand this, because if we don't fight for our right here, because the Bible says it very clearly. It says, because lawlessness abound, the love of many will grow cold. And because the love of many will grow cold, we're going to put a distance between us and other people. And as soon as we put a distance between us and other people, not long before, we put a distance between ourselves and our God. And not long after that, we will find ourselves in trouble. And we'll start to think we are in the kingdom. And we are not in the kingdom. We are in the world. We just act like Christians members. Come on, guys, are you with me? And that is why I can preach a fire tonight for you, because I know that there's only one way, and it's to stay connected. Because Satan will throw the kitchen sink at you. He'll throw death at you. He'll throw loneliness at you. He'll throw depression at you. He'll throw anxiety at you. He'll throw loneliness at you. But every single time, you have to rise up and say, I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. In all my ways, I will prosper. Never will He leave me. Never will He forsake me. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me beside green pastures. I will not be conquered. This is who I am. I've learned something about the devil. He doesn't roar that loud. Come on. I need to greet all these stations. Bless Faith TV this night in the name of Jesus. Come on, guys. Are you with me? Do you get what I'm saying? Can you imagine how powerful you're going to be if you become convinced? I don't mean a believer. I mean convinced. Convinced. Not still, can he do it? No, I mean convinced. Can you imagine how powerful your life is going to get if you become convinced that he can? May I remind you, Moses stand in front of the Red Sea. Pharaoh, 600 chariots coming down upon them. 600 chariots in that day means the whole army of Egypt coming. It's a declaration of war from Pharaoh. He's saying, I'll annihilate you. Here stands a little man of a staff. 3.5 million Jews with him. They fear the wrath of Pharaoh. Imagine the scenery. We sing these songs, but we don't believe what we sing. Suddenly the Ruach, the breath of God, starts to blow. And there's a movement upon the waters. Can you imagine this? And the Spirit of the Lord starts to breathe upon the water. And God starts to drive back His creation. Can you imagine the scenery? Can you imagine the fear in the hearts and the arrogance in the hearts of the Egyptians? Seeing a sea splitting in front of them and still having the arrogance to pursue the God that goes of a people that can split the sea. That is how arrogant Satan is. Satan will chase you down until he drowns. Can you imagine Joseph sitting in the prison cell? Seems like dead, gone, forgotten, dream gone. Then suddenly the call comes. The king wants to see you. Pharaoh wants to see you. One call, outhouse to White House in 30 seconds flat. Or Daniel sitting with the lions. And all the lions can't bite, they just sit. And Darius comes the next day and he says, Daniel, are you still alive? And he's alive. Or how about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They say, even if our God will not save us, we will not bow. We refuse. They get thrown into the fire before the sun appears. I think we underestimate how hot hell is. Come on. Are you convinced? Because if we are convinced, we will be deeply moved for people. We'll be more compassionate. What made Jesus different? He had compassion. They break an alabaster, a harlot comes in, a prostitute. A prostitute. How do you like this for Jesus? A prostitute breaks oil on him, he does nothing. In the lineage of Jesus, he writes a prostitute in his own lineage. A prostitute makes a deal with three spies and say, when your God conquers the city, let me and my household be saved. A prostitute. So Jesus doesn't mind who he sits with, but he does mind you not changing. So he can get you in your sin, but he's not going to leave you there. He can get you of your stubbornness, but you must change. He can get you of your offense, but you have to change. He can get you in your bitterness, but you have to change. He can get you in your hatred, but you have to change. He can get you poor, but you have to change. Somewhere along the line, you have to make the shift and change. Oh, come on. And one of the things my wife say all the time, everybody believe they much as much to them. And what that simply means is that we all convinced we're very busy. But do you know this is the same vernacular we used before COVID? Now, I believe that we should be... Let me tell you a story. True story. Somewhere in your life, you'll reach a place where the enemy doesn't stand in front of you anymore. He gets behind you. Because he knows you won't quit. And he keeps you busy with you. And your thoughts becomes your God. 2 Corinthians 10 starts to happen. And the more you think about your thoughts, the more you think about your offense, the more you think about this one, the more you think about that one, the more you think about, I wonder what that meant. I wonder what she said. I wonder what he said. I wonder what that means. And suddenly our minds become occupied with other people. And we go into this mind game. And then we lose our power and we start to ask God, where is the power? You lost it the day you started to allow other people free space in your mind. Many people here tonight, many people watching me by live stream, there's things that is living on in your head that is long dead. Let it go. Let it go. Who cares what some say? Who cares what the intentions of the heart is? We don't know. God knows. They're not going to stand in front of me. They're going to stand in front of Him. The Bible says every man will appear in front of the bema seat of Christ and every man will give a report unto his life unto God. The Bible says the bema seat of Christ, when the bema seat of Christ happens, the Bible says you'll need to give an account. The word account is the word forensic report. That's the word account. In other words, Jesus is going to ask you for a forensic report. He's going to say, okay, from the day you gave your life to me, I gave you this gift, I gave you this talent. Did you serve my people? Were you faithful? Did you stick it out? Where and what did you do? A forensic report will need to give him back. And may I just say this, big trees are planted trees. If you want to be a big tree, you can't stay in one place for 3 years and then uproot yourself and say, no, baie dankie, no gatak, and then go plant yourself somewhere else. No, big trees grow in time. Come on, give Jesus 10 seconds of praise quickly. The enemy for our fellowship cannot be a virus that we have power over. The enemy for our fellowship cannot be a virus that we have authority over. We have authority over sickness. Mark 16:15. Jesus does not want us slaves to stay, or Jesus doesn't want to let us stay for slaves. Otherwise, there's no purpose to the kingdom. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you guys okay? If a king leaves his city and he goes sets a group of people free, he is called the King of Kings, right? If he is a king and he sent his spirit to the earth, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says how we should we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done as it is in heaven, let it be so on earth. Then when he's the King of Kings, then the Bible calls you and I princes of the earth. Let me say it like this. When he comes back, he's coming back as the King of Kings, right? Everybody okay? Do you understand the terminology? He's coming back as the King of Kings. But which kings? And it's not difficult to understand. While you are on the planet, you should rule. Because when he's coming back, there's a change of kingship. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. So let me use an example. Let's say I am in South Africa. Let's say this country belonged to England, for an example. And the Queen of England will give all her rules and all her laws and everything that how she wants this nation to be run, then even though we are not in England, this nation should be run like England, right? Why? We are under the king's or the queen's domain. Come on, do you understand that, what I'm saying? And so you can be the minister, like in England, the prime minister, but as soon as the queen comes, there's a shift in power. Come on, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So while you are on the earth, while you are here, you are in power. You are under his authority. And you are here, but when he comes back, he's going to ask a report of what we have done here. That's why he cannot involve himself again. God, let me say it like this. God cannot do anything on the earth without you doing it with him. He needs you to work with him. It's true what I'm saying. So here's my question. Why will a king leave his kingdom for slaves unless he had in mind not to leave them as slaves, but to change them into princes? Oh. I hope you're catching what I'm saying tonight. Come on, people that are online, share the gospel. Get it out. Share. Why will a king leave his kingdom for slaves? I don't believe this is his mandate. I don't think this is what he wanted to do. And so this is what he did. And I'll summarize it in 5 seconds, and then we're going to call on you to, we're going to lay hands tonight. Is that fine? Yeah. Hopefully get you full of the Holy Ghost. You have to understand, when he came to preach the kingdom. So what did he do? He immediately chased out demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He preached freedom. He sat to people that didn't fit the mold of religion. Now suddenly the kingdom of darkness is under threat. Why? Another kingdom is coming in. And this kingdom is stronger. Come on. Can I stretch you a little bit tonight? Jesus never called his disciples and told them, go and be the church. He said them, go set up the kingdom. And as they went, they were called the church. Hello? They were called Christians the first time in Antioch. Why were they called the Christians first time in Antioch? Because wherever they went, they took over. And soon they said, these people are of the way. These people are Christians. These people must be that group called the called out ones. And it was the Gentiles referring to the Christians as the church. Because the Gentiles had the word ecclesia. It's a governing term. It's 100% accurate what I'm saying. It is the Gentiles that said, listen, these people came to take over. And the Bible said that the Romans feared the church. Why? They took over. They had the money, they had the gold, they had the power, and they had the clout. And they had the support of the people. So they were a real threat. If you study the Vulgate reports, you'll find in the Vulgate reports that how the Roman Senate, how they studied Jesus. And they say in the Vulgate reports, one thing that the Roman soldiers couldn't understand was, here was a man, go read it, 30 years of age, standing under a tree, telling the people stories. But they write in the Vulgate reports this, they said, but there was a sound in his voice that made us understand that he must be of military authority. Because the way he speaks is not as if he's suggesting something. The way he speaks is as if he's the final report on the subject. And they said, what is this in this young man that it seems that everything bows down when he speaks? They couldn't figure Jesus out. How's that for power? That the Roman Senate were afraid of the king. Oh no. Let me throw this at you. Come on. Can I go a little bit deeper? Listen, this is why when Jesus stood in the Senate, in front of Caiaphas and Annas, and they slapped him through the face, 120 slaps. There was 120 men gathered in Annas and Caiaphas' room. 120 people, the Bible says, they slapped him. The word slap there, slap of a sting. In other words, his face pained. It was a hard slap. He said nothing. They pluck out his beard. He says nothing. Why? He's standing in front of an illegal court. He has nothing to say to these people. They're not in power. Then they take him. They put him in front of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate has got power. He's a ruler. He's a governor. Now Pontius Pilate says to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answers the first time. He says, for this reason I have been born. For this reason I have come into the world. But my servants are not from this world. For if they were, they would have fought for me. And the Bible says that Pilate recognized authority and tried to set Jesus free. It was religious people that crucified Jesus. Come on. Ach, Neeman. Are you guys with me tonight? Religious people crucified Jesus because they didn't like what Jesus had to say. They had a problem with Jesus saving sick people. They had a problem with Jesus having authority. They had a problem with Jesus having people following him. They had an issue. They wanted their position. They loved their position more than what they loved God. This is what the Bible says. Their phylacteries were long. Their robes were long. They liked the opinion of people. They liked the clapping of hands. They liked people and they forgot God. And so they crucified the Son of Man. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, and by the way, we're getting very close there. Jesus says, surely I say, tell you the truth, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, the next time you're going to see me will be of the second coming. And when I come back, you will bow the knee because you're going to know I am God. And then he says, but somebody else will come in his name and you will follow him. What is he talking about? The Antichrist. Why is he talking about that? Because we're in that hour right now. The system of the beast is being set up right in front of our eyes. Come on, guys. If we don't understand what we are busy with here, we are fools. We are in a real bona fide fight for our hearts. Oh, come on. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm a fool to preach like this. I just know this, that the enemy is contending for our hearts right now. More than ever before. We have never been so blasted with technology. Like right now. And God bless technology. I love it. I have built many things through technology and will continue to do so. But technology will not run my life. I don't look at Facebook with my 48,000 followers and my 34,000 followers on Instagram and say, oh, praise the Yira, I'm a great man of God. No, I couldn't care. What I do look for is there fruit in the root? Because if I work so hard and there's no fruit, then I must just quit. But if now I have Durban, and if I now have Witbank, and if I now have Secunda, and if I now have suddenly Cape Town, and if now suddenly Pretoria is growing, and it's growing, and it's growing, and if now suddenly we are blessed more than what we've ever been blessed before, that means that there is a God that is on our side. That means that he is true to his word. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He just needs someone that is converted. Because I've been through it. Come on, guys. You are warriors, all of you. Rise up in this hour. Wake up in this hour. This is our time. This is our moment. This is our slot. This is our watch. We cannot say we left it for the kids. No, it's our war. We war for church. We war for praise. We war for worship. I heard a pastor say to me the other day, no, you're going to burn out. Listen, I said, I'd rather burn out than not turn up. I'm not being weird when I say that. Because the gospel needs to be preached right now. We are seeing more people saved right now than ever before. Oh, I pray that some fire will come upon you. What is the church? The church is dispersed. Connect. Disperse. Connect. Disperse. Connect. Disperse Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Connect. Disperse Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. Connect. Disperse Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Connect. I'm called a disciple, not a member. A member pays his fees. A disciple pays of his life. There's a difference. I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. That's what Jesus says. He says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you to be the light of the world. I chose you. Can we be real for 10 seconds? He could have given your skills to anybody else. He couldn't give your gift to anybody else. He could have chosen anything he wanted. But he chose you. So don't you, in 21 November, start to feel sorry for yourself. No, refire. I refuse to give up because the prize of my high call, I push forward. I forget what is behind. I forget what is behind. I forget what is behind. Paul says, Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 13, I forget what is behind. I forget what is behind. I push forward for the high call that is in Christ Jesus. I forget what is behind. I forget what is behind. Forget what is behind, you push forward. Forget what is behind, you push forward. Forget what is behind, you push forward. Forget it. Push forward. For the high call in Christ Jesus, forget it. Because if you stay there, you keep yourself anchored. Forget it. I can speak about authority on this. Forget it. When the Satan brings up the other day, I was sitting with somebody. They said, "You get this Satan." I'm like, "Who's that?" His name is Satan. Yeah, just keep it, okay? I'm teasing. Leave what's behind. Go on of your life. Press forward. I'll give you a picture. I'll close with this. Are you guys ready to receive? When you drive a car, let me do it like that to the camera. When you drive a car, the only time you look in the rearview mirror is when you want to adjust where you're going to. But if you drive on the highway and you put your car in reverse and you're going that way but still forward, that's called abnormal. And everybody else that's going in the right direction in fifth gear will come past you and like, what you doing? And you might say, I'm very skilled in reverse. But just because you can doesn't mean it's God. There are some Christians, they're living their life in reverse. They got stuck of what God did yesterday. He's not going to do it again. He's going to do it greater. So move on. Okay, let me be a little bit carnal here for like 2 seconds. Is that okay? Okay. In our location in Durban, when I was there now this past week or Friday, we flew up Friday flew up Thursday. I don't even remember. I flew up Friday. I had a long week. Flew up Friday. Ministered Friday, 3.5 hours. By hundreds of people. Saw God heal the sick. Cast out devils. That was like a... But as part of it, you know, They said, listen, we want to take you for a spin in a Ferrari. I said, okay. I like speed. And so I got to drive one of the best top Ferraris there is in the world. And so it was very nice. And that thing is fast. But it's not fast, just it's classy. And it's not just classy, it's like ridiculously nice. But, and before you judge, if you haven't driven one, shh. So wherever I drove of the thing, because we were in Durban, you know the Durban people, they like fast things. Okay, let me leave that. But wherever I went, wherever I went, it's true, I don't know. Wherever I drove with the Ferrari with Ruan, him and I were together, it was his friend's car, and wherever we drove with the Ferrari, everybody noticed us. Everybody hooted, we waved, we acted the part. You know what I'm talking about. Because we were citizens of the Ferrari. Some of you say, I received Jesus. Okay, listen. I have a point here. The point is why I'm referring to the story. And why I'm telling you, God is not going backwards. He's going forward. He's going for an upgrade, not for a downgrade. It's because until the moment that I drove in the Ferrari, I always thought what I drive is quite okay. Because what I drive is not too bad. Until I drove a Ferrari. And my car is like a Toyota whatever versus that thing. And I was thinking to myself, dear Lord Jesus. And look, I won't buy a Ferrari, but here's the point. Somebody gives it to me, I receive in the name of Jesus Christ. But here's the point. I never knew that level was available until I drove in it. Just because you've never seen a level, don't stay at yours. And don't accept that as normal. Don't accept it as normal. Because you never know. Tomorrow, God might bring up and say, hey, I want to bless you. I want to increase you. I want to advance you. I'm going to take you further. And then you can't tell God, sorry, I want to keep staying in my Tata. No, for the love of Jesus, say, thank you very much. I go forward. Oh, come on. When He wants to heal you, take your healing. When He wants to give you breakthrough, take your breakthrough. When He wants to deliver you, take your deliverance. Do not tell Him what He must do. Let God be God. Come on, let's give Him 10 seconds of praise. Are you guys with me? Come on, give God praise. Have you caught that revelation? You know, I went, as you stand, you know, so last night I phoned my brother-in-law. I said, listen, cars are messed up for me now. Because I drive a Ferrari. So, and I know you have to be, you know. So Shannon says, no, calm down. I'm like, I'm calm. I'm just telling you, this thing is nice. Listen, often in life, we say, remember how God did it? I'm challenging you tonight. Philippians 4:13 says, forget what is behind you. He's not going that way. Press forward. Can I give you a testimony? 10 seconds, please keep standing. Worship team, come. Can I give you a testimony? The other day, God healed me completely of the loss of my parents, but every now and again I really miss them. Come on, let's be real. And so I had this moment where I really thought about the past. And the Lord asked me a question. He said, do you want to go back there? I said, no. He said, why? I said, because what is coming is better. And he answered me immediately. He said, you've just passed the test. You don't want to go back. I said, I did. I said, it was awesome, but it's going to get better. He said, yeah. So I don't know what you've gone through. I just know this. It's going to get better. Because of Jesus, it's like an iPhone. There's just an upgrade all the time. Amen. Come on. He just wants to give you better and better and better and better and better and better and better. Do somebody get that revelation tonight? He wants to give you better. Oh, come on. Come on, let's give Jesus 10 seconds of radical praise. Come on, give Him some praise. Give Him some praise.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's Word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.